You know, I was in Mexico. I've been there several times, and they were talking about, or Joy said something about Jesus. And I remember we were locked up in a prison with a bunch of guys, and we were supposed to go in and minister and talk to these fellas. And I remember walking up to all these, they were young guys. I mean, 14, 15, 16 years old, and you'd walk up to them and, "Hey, I'm Steve, and what is your name?" And they would tell you your name, their name, and you would say, "What are you in here for?" "I stole a car." And then you go to the next one, "What are you in here for?" "I stole a car." "What are you in here for?" "I stole a car." So the next one, I said, "Did you steal a car?" Everybody was in there for stealing cars. But it was funny, you know, because cultures are so different. You say, "Do you know Jesus?" "He's my cousin." You know, I don't think we're talking about the same Jesus. Well, today, I'm so honored to get to be able to speak and just share what's on my heart. I've been meditating on this word for weeks and weeks and weeks. And so it has really ministered to my heart. Someone said, "I'm excited about the word today. I hope it's just going to be so good." I said, "Well, it's at least good for me." And the title of the message is called "Me and God." Josh Turner wrote a song, I think, and it was titled "Me and God, We're Like Two Peas in a Pod." It's a great country song, and we're going to hear some country music today. But I have no goats, no surfboards, none of that stuff, no saddles, no helmets, really nothing to surprise you with. But, so let's just get started. This little blue ball that we live on, and we call Earth, it's been in turmoil since the fall of man. And the times that we live in right now, they're disruptive, to say the least. The events that we participate in all over the world, they disrupt our peace, our happiness, and our welfare. And you say, "Well, how in the world, Steve, do we participate in events?" Well, we call it Fox News, CNN, Yahoo Mail. It's all plastered with the media and stuff today. I mean, it's on my phone right now. If I was to click it and pull it up. By the way, do everybody have a phone? Do you have it? Pull it out. Let me see it. Wave it at me. Don't you just love these little devices? We can be contacted all over the world. Now, since you have it out, flip it down and turn it off. All right? See? Because I'm telling you, I will get distracted. And if your phone rings, it will mess me up. If my phone rings, it'll mess me up. But we have a hard time watching the news and everything going on around us, reading it, to really know what is reality and what's not reality. We don't know. It's according to the spin and who's paying the most money to get what they want that really determines what's being said on television and the news. One station will say that the economy is staggering and about to collapse. You can turn it two channels down, and the anchor will assure the good people of America that the economy is strong and we're on the upswing and prospering. One station will say that ISIS is being taken apart and destroyed. But change the channel two clicks down, you'll hear the total opposite. ISIS is gaining strength and taking over the entire Middle East and is lurking on the borders of Mexico and now living in Maryland. I've heard it. Now, those are some serious situations that's going on in the world. But there's some situations that sound quite foolish but are very serious to others. You go all the way down into the channels 200 on DirecTV. You got stuff like Destination America, Nat Geo, Animal Planet. And if you start watching any of those programs, you may find something going on like this. We're standing about 5 miles away on this hill and looking over the top of Area 51. And if you will look through my high-powered lens, you will see and notice that there is really a little alien over there, and they're just leading him into a facility. You can see it. I saw that. I saw through the man's lens something. And this one's really great. This one's really great. It happened 10 miles from my house. And it made TV. My car was attacked last night. When I ran out on the carport this morning, I noticed that above my left fender, my left tire on my fender well, that there was holes punched all in it. And if you'll look at this, it looks like teeth marks. I believe the lizard man is back. Isn't that funny? It is funny. But to her, her car really was messed up. I don't know what did it, but I'm quite sure it wasn't the lizard man. Yeah. Or what about this one? There's lots of shows about this now. They're trying to prove it. I was sitting in my living room and I looked out the window and there was a hairy man about 8'6" tall staring back at me while I was watching the Fox News channel. I guess he was interested in what was going on too. Does Bigfoot really exist? And my question is, if he does exist, does he live in the swamp behind my house? You know, now that is funny stuff and it's kind of foolish. And you see, I'm pointing, he's really tall. And someone put that on Facebook. I cannot believe they did that. But as serious or as funny as some of those things are that we hear and we see, they literally creep into our life and they cause disruption. And sometimes we become confused and fearful, which we know that's not God. But you know, the times that we're living in with all the turmoil and stuff, they're not original to us. My grandparents, my Grandpa Moore, my Grandpa Eggers, both fought in World War II. My Granddaddy Osborne fought in the Korean War. Our parents, of people my age, fought in Vietnam. The conflicts that go on around. My generation fought in Desert Storm. And most of the enemies that we go to war with, that we don't go there just as a nation, are sometimes there's profitable gain in doing in having a war, but a lot of times and most of the time it's because someone is attacking our Christian ideologies and our beliefs. There's a war going on right now. Men and women are paying a high price, because there is an enemy that has been on this earth since it was created. And it hates Christians. And it is a thought pattern that will exist till Jesus comes back. And I believe the war that we're in will last until he comes back. And I believe he's coming back very soon. You know, now that's on a big national stage of conflicts and disruptions in our life. But we all have disruptions and conflicts going on in our life individually, personally. You know, what do you do when the doctor comes in and delivers terrible news, saying you've had a stroke and you will never walk again, you'll never speak again, you're going to lay in that chair for the rest of your life, but the word says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. If they agree on a thing, it will be done. And then within 6 months, you're moving your legs and you start talking and then you get up and walk. And in the midst of all that, while everybody thinks you're just laying there, you're listening to everything they're saying. And God is ministering to your heart. And you can honestly say, oh God, if you'll get me out of this chair, I will serve you the rest of my life. That happened in this church. Eris Smith. What a wonderful testimony. What about if you go to the doctor in the middle of June, like July the 18th of 2014, and you're sitting there and the doctor comes in. And he says, your brain is healed. Oh, it's going to heal. Get used to living like you're living. Because it's who you are. That's whenever something comes up, it's a war. And you say, but the word tells me I have the mind of Christ. Amen. And Christ is never forgetful. Amen. And if I have the mind of Christ, then I can remember. Amen. Or you're in stage 2 cancer. Oh, and that C word just strikes fear into everybody I know. But the word says, by your stripes, Lord, I am healed. I am healed. What about this one? We've seen that. Actually, stage 4 cancer, prostate cancer. No hope to live whatsoever. Gets into the word. Gets into the word. Now that was 20-something years ago. Poo on cancer. God's already taken care of it. What about this one? Your car's about to be repoed. You're 6 months late on your house payment. The grocery money's been depleted. And the baby has a runny nose pulling at his left ear. Man, that's a familiar story. But the word says that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Our reality this morning is life has dealt each of us hard blows, which has significantly changed our lives and thrown us into a war that we did not want to fight. It is these times of challenges and difficulties that we begin to question ourselves. What did I do to deserve this? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What did we ever do to deserve this? Or why me, Lord? And then we began to question God. Why? Why did you let this come on me? Sometimes the reversal of things we expect from God come. And when they do, does this catastrophe work to reform you or reform me to conform to who God actually is and not the way we imagine him to be or wish him to be? Because he is the great I am. Or does it lead us to an abandonment of God altogether? And I've seen both. Speaking from my own life experiences, to survive, grow, and overcome during any life conflict, you need to be absolutely sure that you know the voice of God. You have to know that voice. You have to know when he speaks. You have to know the touch of God. The way God feels. Scientists have tried to prove his existence, and you can look all around and see that there is a God. But there's an art to knowing God and hearing God. There was no better Old Testament prophet who understood this better than Jeremiah. He was born into one of the most troubling times in Hebrew history. Some of the topics that man had to deal with during his life, and those Hebrew people, they were addicted to false gods. There was a lot of addictions in the world, but these people were addicted to false gods and could not get enough of them. These people, they stood for nothing and stood up for no one. The city that he ministered in, it was a city filled with lies. The nation of God refused to obey God. The people acted as if they knew everything, but not God's word. They continually advanced from one evil to the next, and false prophets were using these words, God told me this. All of which finally led to the fall of Jerusalem and Babylonian captivity. If we continue on in sin that's in our life, I will guarantee you, you will fall. And you will come into captivity. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to live that way. But with poor old Jeremiah, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. You ever been in a situation where, oh my goodness, if it could go wrong, it did go wrong. He was in the middle of a hot mess. He was in the thick of the worst imaginable situation you could be in. He knew the truth. God would forgive and restore, but people refused to listen. You ever told somebody the truth, but they just wouldn't hear it? They thought they just knew better. Who are you to tell me this? Well, Jeremiah needed the word of the Lord. He needed to know that he'd heard God's voice to do what he had to do. I would not have wanted to be Jeremiah living in that time, in that city, dealing with all that negativity and dealing with all those people who were refusing to listen to him. And he's watching his family go down the tube because they just will not listen. And when you're in that kind of a situation, you need to know God's voice, because it will mentally drive you crazy. It will emotionally break you down. It will financially rob you, because you're constantly trying to get somebody out of a hole that they've dug themselves into. Constantly. And that was the life he was leading. And so he needed to know that he had heard God's voice. And you can turn to Jeremiah 1:4 in your Bibles. And it says this: "The word of the Lord came to me." That was an important phrase. The word of the Lord came to me. And he used that phrase throughout the book of Jeremiah about 50, 51 times. You see, Jeremiah, like me, he was a PK. He was a preacher's kid. They called him priest. But basically, if you want to flip it up to today's terminology, he was a preacher's kid. Because his dad was the man who served God, who worked for God, who heard from God. In life, it's never good enough to know that your mom and dad have heard God. You need to hear God for yourself. You must hear God for yourself. Because when you're facing life's hardest temptations, how many has ever been tempted? Every day. Even this morning, on the way to church at 6:30, tempted. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to have to turn the radio station." But when you're facing temptations, I know hard temptations, like, I have a problem with drinking. Do I pick that up or do I leave that sitting there? I really would like to have it. Nobody's going to stop me, but do I pick that up or leave that sitting there? For me, there's a big piece of chocolate cake. That's life's hard temptation. Same thing, addiction's an addiction. I really like that chocolate cake. Forget that salad. Do I take a bite of it or do I leave it there? Lori's not in the room. Can I take a bite of it? The kids are not here. Or do I leave it there? Or better yet, do I go feed it to one of my pigs? See, I've already come through the drinking stuff. It's not an issue anymore. But that chocolate cake, that banana ice cream, oh my God, those Long Johns with that cream filling in the middle of it. Oh, it's like, hallelujah. Covered in chocolate on top, hot. It's good stuff, man. But it's not good for me. You know, when you're facing heartaches and trials, when you're standing in a room and someone you love dearly is passing, your mama and your daddy, your sister and your brother, even your pastors and your church family can surround you. They can love on you and everything. They can even say, "I know what you're going through." Because I've been told that. I know what you're going through. And because I'm a nice guy sometimes, and God just shuts my mouth, he locks my jaws. I want to say, "No, you don't. No, you don't. Just sit there and be nice. It's good just to know you're here with me. It's good that you're just in my presence. But I need to hear God's voice to tell me it's going to be okay. I need to hear God say, 'Steve, it's going to be fine.' That's what I need to hear. Because it's God's voice that will uphold you. It's God's voice that will reaffirm you. It's God's voice that will keep you. It is God's voice that will steady you. It is God's voice that will bring you the peace that you need. And it's God's voice that you so long to hear say, everything's going to be okay, Steve. Amen. Because I'm with you. It's God's voice. A good example of this is Moses in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. You know, Moses was born a slave, but yet he was raised in Egyptian royalty. Prince Moses. Only to find himself at conflict with the king trying to deliver the slaves. In Exodus 3:8, God tells Moses this. He says, Moses, I have come down to rescue my people. And then in verse 10, he says, Moses, you go to Pharaoh. Now, if I'd have been Moses, then knowing how I am, I said, but God, you just told me that you came down to rescue your people. Why do I need to go speak to the Pharaoh? Because when God moves, it's always through us. It's always through us. And in verse 11, I said this Wednesday night, but it's worth repeating. In verse 11, Moses asked God, who am I? And God told him this, I will be with you. Amen. What? That didn't answer my question. But God, who am I? I will be with you. And I was listening to a video series by Bill Johnson that I've been previewing that I think's great. And he explains that little, those two sentences, who am I and I will be with you like this. And you need to hear this. It's worth repeating from Wednesday night. It's like God was saying, whenever Moses said, who am I? And God said, I'll be with you. It was like, Moses, you are the man that I enjoy being with. Moses, you're the man that I like hanging around. Moses, you're the man that I trust. Moses, you're the man that I am not ashamed to be called your God. You know, Moses had a stuttering problem. Couldn't talk. Had a terrible time stuttering. But yet he was to face the king of Egypt, the most powerful man in the world. And you know, that our inadequacy sometimes make us feel very small, very insignificant, and very unimportant. But even with all of his inadequacies, God said, Moses, you're the man that I am not ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of you, Moses. So you stutter, I'm your God. I got you back. In Genesis 6:13, God spoke to Noah, and he said, build a boat, Noah, an ark. He had to hear God's voice just like Moses did, because the tasks that they were given were unbelievably huge and almost impossible. Why do I need to build a boat, God? It doesn't rain. You need to build the boat to save the world. That's why. And he had to know God's voice and that God had spoken to him, because the task was enormous and the ridicule was even more enormous. Moses, you are a fool dragging those trees out of the wood, sawing them, and building a boat. You don't know anything about sailing. You don't know anything about being a captain of a boat. You're a fool, Moses, for doing this. You're wasting your life and you're wasting your time. But what made the difference is Noah had heard God's voice. It didn't matter what people said, because he had heard a voice that was much stronger than anything that was being whispered in his ear. It's amazing. Jonah 1:1. The word of God came to Jonah. Basically, God spoke to Jonah. And he told him this. Go down to Nineveh and preach against their wrongs. My goodness, The thing of it is, Jonah hated Nineveh. He hated those people. In Jonah's opinion, they could all go to hell. He didn't care. I don't want to go tell them. Why should they be saved? As far as I'm concerned, psht. And you know what he did? He went the total opposite direction. Wound up causing a big mess on a boat, and the guys were all afraid they were going to drown, and so wound up throwing Jonah off the side of the boat just to stop the ocean from trying to come in the boat to get him. And he got ate by a big fish. He was fish food. You know what fish eat? Catfish eat? Carp eat? Think about it. It'll hit you. Google it. After church. He got ate by a big fish. But in the middle of that fish's stomach, Jonah cried out to God. He cried out to God. And that big fish swam to the bank and literally threw Jonah up. It even made that fish sick. But I want you to know, when you don't listen to God and you find yourself swallowed up by life, pray. Call on God, because he's still there. Just because you ran, that doesn't mean he did. Because he's the God that's not ashamed of you. He's the God that'll stick with you no matter your fears or anything else. He's right there with you. In Acts, God spoke to Saul. Saul was the greatest persecutor in his time of the Christian church. He was the Osama bin Laden of his day. Honestly, you said, that's a huge stretch. No, it wasn't. He just stoned Stephen, and they sold off his clothes right there. I mean, he'd drag Christians off and jail them and then kill them. That's what he did. Saul. That's what he was. He was a terrorist. Like it or not, but that's what he was. But while on the road to Damascus, a great light shone on him, and a voice spoke that said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He heard the voice of God, and it thundered so loud that that man lost his sight. And everyone in his presence froze with fear, because they knew God just spoke. And he went from being the church destroyer to the greatest church promoter in the history of mankind. In Galatians 1:5, Paul said this, and I found this and it really blew my mind. And Paul said, but when God, who set me apart from birth, think about that. Even though he was such a terrible man, God still had set him apart at birth, because God wishes that no man perish. You want to know about predestination? That's what he thinks about it. He don't want anybody to die and go to hell. God, who set me apart from birth by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me. You know, I remember that day in my life when I could say that. When God set me apart at my birth, revealed, or by his grace, God was so pleased to reveal his son Jesus to me. I remember where I was at, what I was thinking, what I was doing. And I just want to say, even the worst of men can change. Even the worst of men can change. That's why I love sinners so much. Because I love to see the transformation that takes place in their life when they start hanging around me and Lori. I can't help it. If you hang around Christian folk and they're good Christian folk, people will start changing. So don't be so sterile that you don't have a couple sinner friends. You go into the operating room, it's a very sterile environment because you don't want anything to grow. Well, we're not in the operating room. And we want a lot of growth. So get some friends who don't know Jesus and don't beat them in the head. Just be yourself. Had a friend of mine. She didn't even know I was a pastor. For 2 years, I never told her. I'd be going over to their house. I'd stay outside because you didn't never know what was going to be on the TV. Most time it was porn. And so I didn't want to go in. And I'm being real with you. You know, I'm not some kind of, I'm just real as I can be. Her husband always come outside. You want a bud? Nah, I'm not thirsty, thank you. And they'd cuss up a storm, carry on. And I loved being around them. They were just fun people. Then one day I got a phone call on my cell phone. I was riding down the road, and I mean, you just wouldn't believe what was being said on the other line. Oh, my God, I'm going to go to hell. Oh, my God, I can't believe this. Just swear, adjective, adjective, adjective. And it was like, what in the world is wrong with you? I just found out you're a pastor. And I went, and what is wrong with you? You know, what's wrong with you, girl? Calm down. I'm not going to be the one to send you to hell. Your deal is either you know Jesus or not, or you don't. I've been trying to show him to you for 2 years. And she got saved. And is a great friend of ours. We can go without seeing her for a year at a time, but it's like, hey, we're family. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, that's good. My question is, has God spoken to you lately? And prophetically, I can honestly say, if he hasn't, get ready, because he is fixing to start talking to you. He wants to talk to you. He longs to talk to you. And you may say, well, how will I know when God speaks to me? I've been asked that question so many times. Well, Steve, how do you know God's talking to you? How do you know? Well, the scripture says in John 10:27, that my sheep hear my voice. I know them. That's what Jesus says. I know them. And they follow me. Let me tell you, there, I will bring that back around and explain to you how that works in a minute. A friend of mine called me up the other day. And he said, God woke me up last night, and I got to tell you what he told me. And I said, okay, tell me. Well, he got to crying, he hung up on me. And so I started to call him back, and I just, the Lord said, don't call him back, let him be. Let him cry. So I didn't bother him. 3 or 4 days, I didn't bother him. And finally, he calls me up and says, I can tell you what God told me now. And it was very personal. And he told me what he said, and he said, Steve, he woke me up and talked to me all night long. I slept for 15 minutes, but I was so refreshed when I woke up. It was like I'd been asleep for 8 hours. And he said, the Lord really spoke to me and unburdened me. He said, when God spoke to me, he unburdened me. Because I've been so burdened. And the voice of God can do that. And he said, I can't tell everybody what I just told you. Because the people that I hang around will say, well, how do you know God was talking to you? And I said, well, what would you tell them if they said that? He said, I would just say, when God speaks to you, you know it. There is no question of who spoke to you. You know it's God. In John 10:4 says this, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus doesn't drive people, he leads people. He leads them. The voice of God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Take a look at this video right fast. I think this explains it better than I can. Welcome Ellen DeGeneres and Garth Brooks.
We're back with the wonderful Garth Brooks, and we have a treat. You're going to do the song Mom for us.
Yeah. This is a conversation that goes on between God and this unborn child.
Turn it up a little bit.
On earth, and when God describes what a mom is, just kills me. I'm going to try and get through this. Forgive me if I don't. I just, like I said, I'm a mama's boy, so. A little baby told God, hey, I'm kind of scared. Don't really know if I want to go down. From here it looks like a little blue ball. But that's a great big place, and I'm so small. Why can't I just stay here with you? Did I make you mad? Don't you want me to? And God said, oh, child, of course I do. But there's somebody special that's waiting for you. So hush now, baby, don't you cry. 'Cause there's someone down there waiting whose only goal in life is making sure you're always gonna be alright. A loving angel, tender, tough and strong. Come on, child, it's time to meet your mom. Now when she's talking to you, make sure you listen close, 'cause she's gonna teach you everything you'll ever need to know. Like how to mind your manners, to love and laugh and dream, and she'll put you on the path that'll bring you back to me. So hush now, little baby, don't you cry. 'Cause there's someone down there waiting whose only goal in life is making sure you're always gonna be alright. A loving angel, tender, tough and strong. Come on, child, it's time to meet your mom.
Carl's always told me you can hear God in anything. Don't be closed-minded, because God speaks. That word, I knew you, it means to be acquainted with, to have knowledge of, instructed, declared, to make oneself known, to reveal oneself. So God was telling Jeremiah that I was acquainted with you, Jeremiah, before you were born. I had knowledge of you. I instructed you. I decreed and declared over you the kind of man that you would be. I made myself known to you. And he revealed himself to Jeremiah. Now, it works a lot like this. And that boy, is he sleeping? Oh, good. Now, my total goal in life, whenever my babies were born and after I got saved, was to teach them the presence of God and the touch of God. It was more important than any job I had. It was the most important thing in my life. Those kids had to know the touch of God. Now, it's all right. Woo, you woke up. And he may not make it. But you know what? Griffin is my grandson. And there's something very special about a grandson. Is that right, Larry? There's something special. Because, see, as a young dad, you're working so hard just to make ends meet that you spend all your time working and not as much time as home enjoying those kids. But when the grandkids come home, you don't want to miss them, so you understand what is really important. You're crying. So anyway, my goal in life with Griffin is for him not to lose what he was born with. So we tell him, Griffin, you know, God knew you before you were born. He talked to you. When you wave at things and see things that I can't see and you go, hey, I don't even question it, buddy. The other day he was sitting in the floor and he was watching the rocking chair. And he just fell over laughing. He fell over laughing in the floor. I looked at the rocking chair. There was no one there. And he, as he was falling, he went, hey! And just waved and just was laughing. But God has a great plan for him. He has a great plan for his future. And he knows what it is. And no matter how difficult or hard that plan may be, God, he's going to know God's voice that he can do it. We'll make sure of it. We'll make sure of it. the farm, when we have a baby horse born, and I need to close, but on the farm, when we have a baby horse born, the first thing that we want to do, as soon as that horse hits the ground, wet and slimy and still coming out of that sack, trying to breathe and trying to escape, kicking and floundering, the first thing we want to do is go grab a towel. We want to run out there and we want to grab that horse. Really. So we're as wet and slimy as that horse is when we're finished. We want to touch that horse. We want that horse. I hold that horse close to my chest so we can feel my heartbeat. I put its ear right there on my chest because it needs to know who I am. Because a horse's nature is flight or fight. And they're going to run. And I'm a predator, even though I don't eat horses. Some people do. And then I get that horse up, me and Lori and the kids, and make sure that everything's okay. Spray its little belly button. And we take it out there, we help that mom, you know, get out to the pasture. And then we can just let that horse go. It's called imprinting. We do it to the goats and everything. We imprint them. And we let them go. Do you know 2 or 3 years later, that horse could never been touched again? It can be wild. And I've seen this happen. We can catch that horse fighting, bucking, and kicking, trying to kill you. And you just fight with it long enough that you can get your hand back on it. And when you touch that horse, I have seen this happen so many times, it just relaxes. Because all of a sudden, it remembers who you are. It remembers who you are. And it is the coolest thing in the world to see that happen. Now, do I want to climb up on its back right then? Absolutely not. Just because it knows me doesn't mean it wants to tote me around. But it knows who I am. And that's kind of how it is with us and God. We were born, and we'll save the rest of the message for later, but we were born being imprinted by God. We were born with that. And somehow as we grow in this world, we're like that horse that we turn out into the field on the farm. And we just get wild as a buck. We do our own thing. We go our own way. We become selfish. All we worried about is eating and sleeping. Doing our thing. But then the master begins to tug on that rope. Just like I tug on that horse's lead line. And start pulling you back in. And pulling you back in. And you fight and you fight and you fight. Hey, or at least I fought and I fought and I fought. Until I felt his hand. And there was something about the touch of God that I remembered. There's something, I felt this before. And I can't live without it. And then I hear his voice speak. And I'm his. It's how it works. It's how it worked with Jeremiah. Jeremiah, it says a little bit later on, it says, before you were born, I sanctified you. That word sanctify means to be set apart. But I like this even better. I made you majestic, Jeremiah. Look, everyone in this room has been made majestic. You've been made in the image of God. And then he says, I ordained you a prophet. I put on you and I assigned you. You know what? God grants us the opportunity to be who we are. He grants us a great opportunity. And you'll never be happier than when you're living the purpose you were created to do. So, you need to know personally what God has spoken to you personally and directly to you. So get ready, open your ears, and expect that this week that God is going to speak to you because he is. Stand with me. Let's just do this. Now, if you have never felt the tug of Jesus on your heartstrings, and if you have to ask me what is that, then I can say you've never felt it. Because when the Lord starts dealing with you, you know it. And we fight it because sometimes it's just who we are. It's not in our nature to be submissive. We're like flight or fight too. And but if you've never felt those tugs on your heartstring, and you feel them this morning, and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, then we don't want to close until we give you that opportunity. And so if you've never done that, then I want you to consider that. We don't have to close our eyes. It's not an embarrassing thing. But if you've never done that, just consider that a second. Are you running wild in your pasture? Is God pulling on you? Do you feel his touch? Do you hear his voice? Only you would know. Only you would know. When he was tugging on my heartstring, only I knew. No one else knew. But if that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm not even going to make you come up front. We're about done. Then what a great testimony. Everybody in this house is saved. Bring somebody that's not. Get a sinner friend. Bring them. So they'll know the same Jesus that you know. Because they were created majestic with a purpose and with a plan. They've been imprinted too. So, let me pray this over you before we leave. Father, we thank you for your blessings over us. We thank you, Lord, that we do have ears to hear and that, Lord, we long to hear from you. We want to hear you speak to us. We want to hear you call our names. Lord, we want to know what our purpose is in life. Lord, we're tired of questioning that. What was I born to do, Father? Don't ever feel like your life is a waste, because it's not. Your life has not been a wasted time. It's not been wasted. But you're not finished living yet either. So, Father, we thank you that you're going to speak to us this week. And I speak encouragement over my brothers and sisters as they leave. I encourage them to know that you know who they are, where they are, and what's going on in their life. And you're with them. And I bless them today. And I bless their homes. I bless their children and their families. Father, I speak to the hearts of the children. Some that are so distraught and so busy, Father, that they can't even be still to concentrate. And I just speak peace over that. In Jesus' name. For those fixing to travel, I speak the blessing of God. And I thank you, Lord, that that angel that escorted them to earth is still with them today and will take care of them as they go and bring them back safely. And I thank you, Father, for your healing touch that rests in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.